This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we are so excited to be broadcasting Gwen and Chris today live from Spiro's, a Greek cafe, a Mediterranean cuisine here in Coronado. We are in a great location. In fact, we can see Petco Park from where we are, right across San Diego Bay, and we're going to talk a lot about Spiro's and talk about everything going on in sports, but we can't wait around too long. We've got to get right to it, because joining us from Petco Park on our Friar Friday interview right now is San Diego Padres right-hander Jeremiah Estrada. So Jeremiah usually comes in at the end of the game, but he's coming at the beginning of the show. How are you, Jeremiah? Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys? Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, absolutely. We're doing great. First of all, I thought you pitched pretty well yesterday. I mean, I don't know. Were you satisfied with that performance? Five straight strikeouts to finish it off. It seemed like you had everything working pretty well.
We got the dub. You know, that, of course, that's what matters. You know, I did what I can to help the team out. And Suarez came in and shut the door down. You know, I mean, I did what I needed to do, did the job. But with me in my hand, I left too many changeups up. It should have been six strikeouts.
Oh, yeah, right.
Too many changeups. I think you pitched great.
So he was unbelievable.
You were unbelievable. Also, Pitching Ninja thought you pitched great as well. So I saw that you were excited about that. But I read, actually, this week about your off-season work and how you really worked on a splitter and how you worked on it all off-season, and now it's being put to use and you're doing really well with it. How long does it take for a pitcher to learn a new pitch before you use it in a game?
There's different things that you could really type, you know, that it takes time to learn. You know, like working with Ruben, I had learned, and Ben, I had learned my slider, and I learned that slider in spring training, and that's what I throw now. So, you know, like being able to learn that pitch during spring training to kind of jump on it, kind of, you know, and if I'm going to learn something, I'm going to feel like I'm going to go to bed holding a baseball and wake up and put a base on my hands and go back to that grip and work on it. You know, so there's some pitches that are like that you can learn quickly. But the splitter, I was learning it in August of last year.
And that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it took some time. The old team I was playing for wanted me to learn a splitter in the middle of June when I had a zero ERA, and then I just agreed on it. You know, you never know what can really, really work for you or what could not work for you. And a splitter in between the index finger and the middle finger wasn't working, so they sent me to AAA to figure it out, which was a weird one, you know. I mean, I told them I had a normal changeup, but they just wanted that. And then went to AAA to try to figure it out. Wasn't really being able to figure it out. Then I went to Arizona to throw some lab work and was still trying to figure it out. And I went home and I was like, hey, I need to feel what I need to feel that feels good in my hands. You know, at the end of the day, it's what I feel, what I like to throw, and I'm going to try to figure it out. So I kind of went off of my old changeup back then and a little different way of looking up some legends, you know. Like I've looked up some Steven Strasburg's changeup. I looked up Eric Gagne's changeup, and watching this Eric Gagne video, I just figured it out there. And it's not like Eric Gagne's. I just, the way he tells people how he finishes his changeup, I start my grip on how he finishes it. And it's worked out.
It has.
Yeah, it's working pretty well. Jeremiah Estrada is our guest. We're really excited to have him. I'm curious, Jeremiah, just being a young player, you know, how excited are you to be just in the big leagues? My goodness, you're pitching in Great American Ballpark. Now we're back home, Petco Park. You got the New York Yankees coming in this weekend. It looks like you're really going to be a big part of this bullpen moving forward. Do you have to calm yourself down a little bit to make sure you can still go out and get your job done?
Oh, no, no. You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, I know the different type of talent is the only thing that's different, you know, but it's the same baseball, same mound, same distance, same width of the plate, you know. I mean, at that point, it's more in the head. If it can, you know, you can control things up there first. You can control the game with the ball in your hands, you know. But nothing's really changed, you know. I'm confident in myself, and it feels good to be confident in my catcher as well. In the catcher, both catchers, you know, calling the pitches and calling the game, you know. It's just having trust.
Talking to Jeremiah Estrada here, Padres eighth inning guy now, and I'm always curious.
It's nice that you have just made that determination.
Yes.
Are you the new skipper of the team now?
Yes, Schilt and I came to that conclusion earlier today.
Okay.
But really, because I've never played baseball higher than Little League, I've always wondered what it's like to enter a game when everything's on the line, because I feel, you know, fans feel it at home, and you're the guy who has to go out there and pitch and get outs. What goes through your mind as you're preparing to go out and close, or at least get a holdover in that eighth inning?
I think everybody gets in that certain way where, you know, they're sitting at the edge of the couch now, you know, leaning forward, watching that game. You know, it's the same thing as it is watching the game live where I'm at. You know, it's the same mindset of, you know, it's just, if you go in this game, you know what to do, you know, and it's just trust your stuff. I mean, I think everybody can maybe get nervous, I guess. I mean, I really don't know. I get those little nervous giggles, but then once I have a baseball in my hand and once I'm on the mound, that all goes away, and I just know that, you know, and I'm usually the guy that I want the ball as many times as possible. If they ask me to start tomorrow, I'm going to tell them, hell yeah, give me the ball. Like, they don't matter to me. I just love pitching.
And the Padres love having him pitch right now. Jeremiah Estrada, red hot on the mound. The Padres coming home to start a series with the New York Yankees tonight. Jeremiah, were you always a pitcher when you played baseball? Did you play any other positions? I know myself, I did a little pitching in college, and the reason I ended up pitching in college is because I couldn't hit. And when I was growing up, I was just the worst hitter, and I said, you know, if I'm going to make it as any kind of baseball player, I better learn how to pitch because I can't hit. How did you become a pitcher, or were you always a pitcher?
My dad put me in every position. He always told me I'm going to play as many positions as possible, whether if it's left field, catcher, whatever it is. You know, it really didn't matter because he always told me that whenever a coach says, hey, I need a guy to play this position, like, you want to raise your hand at all times. You know, there's never one thing you want to be good at. You want to be good at multiple things. So, you know, I played pretty much everywhere. Whenever my dad was, he was always my coach. Needed a pitcher, I would go into pitch whenever. You know, I played shortstop, second base, third base, all growing up. But honestly, the main position I was growing up with that I was really focusing on was catcher and shortstop. But precisely catcher. We were going for, like, getting recruited as a catcher. And up until eighth grade, I was always just, you know, the catcher. I'll pitch every now and then. And I remember I pitched this playoff game. And I had like 16 strikeouts starting, you know, because I've always been a starter. And they, I don't know how fast I was throwing or something like that. I didn't know, you know, I was just going out there pitching. And my dad goes, dude, a scout came up to me and said, you were throwing like 85 or 88, like as an eighth grader. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, you told me you need to stop hitting and just worry about pitching. I was like, what do you think, Dad? He goes, no. You need to be an athlete, not a pitcher. I'm like, well, I'm going to be whatever I can be, you know, like, okay, whatever you say. And, of course, I got to high school, and I weighed like a buck 40 going into high school. And that varsity coach was like, yeah, you're too skinny to be a catcher, so you're going to play infield or outfield, and you're going to stick as a pitcher as well. And then I started focusing on pitching and played shortstop, and I would alternate.
How about that, though, Scraby? Another shortstop on this baseball team.
That's true. That's
right?
True.
We've already got like 17 shortstops.
Yes.
Now we got, if everybody else is out one day, Jeremiah can go play short.
I like it.
Hey, Jeremiah, great job, man. It's really been exciting to see you, you know, come in and have such an impact on this ball club. And congratulations on your first save the other night in Atlanta. Hopefully Suarez will let you have a few more. And, you know, in the meantime, keep rocking that seventh, eighth inning, man. The way you pitched yesterday, this Padre team can use it. And hopefully we guys keep it going moving forward. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you guys for having me on. And let's keep going. You know, I'm excited to be with this new ball club. It's good vibes here. And I guess as far as we can go, you know, I'm here to do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Absolutely. There goes Jeremiah Estrada kicking off the show today. Here on Gwynn and Chris, I'll tell you one thing, Scrape. I was surprised after watching this guy pitch in spring training that he didn't make the ball club on opening day. But now I understand a little bit. He said he was working on a slider. He was still working on his split finger pitch. He was working on his changeup. And I think the Padres thought, you know, let's just refine those pitches a little bit. And as soon as we need him, you know, we'll bring him up. And it's worked out perfectly because he's come up and he's hit the ground running.
And the Kevin Acey newsletter, I think it was this morning, where he was talking about him learning the splitter and everything. And I guess the first time Ruben Niebla actually saw him throw the splitter, he just kind of like looked at everyone and was like, this is something we need to build on, kind of thing, because
he knew
it could be a good pitch for him.
Well, what about his fastball? I mean, the guy's throwing 97. I mean, that could be a pretty good pitch for him, too.
And it moves.
Yeah.
But I brought up the pitching ninja thing because it's funny, you know, it's funny to me that even Major League Baseball players get excited when the pitching ninja tweets out their five strikeouts in a row, because he retweeted it and he was very excited.
So. Well, he was electric yesterday in Cincinnati for sure. Jeremiah Estrada kicking off the program today, our Friar Friday broadcast from Spiro's right here in Coronado. Let's hear from you folks out here. Let's make a little noise. We're just kind of warming up the party. We got a good group out here. It's so awesome. A lot of people came down to see you, Scraby. And,
yes, I'm sure.
You know, that's very nice of them.
Yes.
But, look, we got a bunch of food down here. We're going to have, you know, you can get a cold drink. It is really a beautiful setting. I'm not kidding when I say it's a great place to go hang out. I mean, San Diego Bay, downtown, Petco Park's right across the way there. But beyond all of that, if you come down here, you're going to definitely want to get down here between now and 5:30, hopefully before that, because we have so many prizes to give away, Scraby. I mean, Sharon, who does some of the marketing work here at Spiro's, got a package of stuff to give away. We got Padre shirts. We got hats.
Jerseys.
We got teddy bears. We've got baseballs. We've got bobbleheads. And if none
tickets.
Of that... Yeah, I was going to say, if none of that interests you, then we got some Padre tickets to give away as well. I think we had three pair to give away to the during the Marlins series coming up. So you definitely want to come by. If you are anywhere close to Coronado, head on over here. We're at the Ferry Landing. It's real easy to get to. Plenty of parking. Come on in. Grab yourself a little bite to eat. Sign up to win some stuff.
When we get back, I have breaking National League West news, Chris.
All right. Well, we'll get to that as we get the breaking. Big-time stuff. All right. I'll try to hold out for that information.
Former Padre heading to the Giants.
We will tell everybody all about it. You've piqued my interest, Scraby, and we'll check into that when we come back, get the show rolling from Spiro's. But come on down, be a part of the program today from now until 5:30. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby alongside. Of course, Tony is on, I think he's vacationing. Well, he's on vacation.
I can't call it vacation.
Yeah, I don't think it's a vacation. I think it's a work-related thing, but he's in New York, actually.
Yes.
New York is here, of course, to play the Padres. We'll talk about tonight's game. So all of that, plus Scraby's breaking news when we come back from Spiro's on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know that we know Juan Soto's here. He's going to speak to the media at about 3:30 this afternoon. Our Sammy Leavitt, of course, is at Petco Park, so we will carry some of that for you and or at least play some of it for you on our program. You'll get to hear what Juan says on his upon his return to San Diego. I hope he's not late for the bus or late for the press conference. The ultimate diva has returned to San Diego, Juan Soto. Yeah, my all-time favorite player.
I did not say that.
I know you didn't say that. That's my thinking about Juan Soto. He's not my kind of guy. He plays a great game of baseball, and hopefully the Padres can keep him quiet this weekend. Tonight, Yu Darvish will start for the Friars, and it'll be Carlos Rodon for the Yankees. This is what has me concerned, of course, is that Carlos Rodon is starting because he happens to throw left-handed.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about this for a while now, but the Padres can't hit left-handed pitching. Now, I was talking to Mark just a little bit ago, one of our listeners who's down here. He had a really good idea. He said maybe the Padres ought to get themselves a left-handed starting pitcher so they can learn how to hit left-handed starting pitching. I thought that was an interesting thought.
That is an interesting
thought. See, the Padres don't have a left-handed starting pitcher, so they don't have to worry about it.
I often forget that, too.
Yeah, they don't have a left-handed starter. The Yankees do, unfortunately, and he's pitching tonight. So, you know, it's going to be – it's either one of these just crazy – you know, I was going to almost say conspiracies. It's one of these crazy coincidences that the Padres just can't hit against lefties, or there's a problem. I mean, you're looking at some of these averages against left-handed pitching. It's unbelievable. Jake Cronenworth, 196. Now, that's not all that bad considering he bats left-handed.
True.
But the other guys,
he has a pass.
Yeah, I don't know what their excuse is. Ha-Sung Kim's hitting 186 against lefties. Fernando Tatis is hitting a robust 170, and that's even after he got that game-winning RBI double against a lefty yesterday in Cincinnati.
I'm just hoping he builds on that.
I hope so, too. Manny Machado at 143 against left-handed pitching, that almost boggles the mind. I mean, he ought to be able to hit left-handed pitching with his eyes closed.
I really think that he's starting to find it. I really do.
Well,
because he's coming through. He's not going into these stretches as much where he doesn't get a hit for like 6 days in a row.
Well, he did have a nice series in Cincinnati, but most of it was against right-handed pitching. And then Luis Campusano is another guy, bats right-handed.
Just pour cold water all over my good thoughts.
What's that about Manny?
Yeah.
I hope he gets hot, too. What do you want me to say?
Well, it's against right-handed pitching, so that was...
Okay. Well, it was. And Luis Campusano's hitting 121 against left-handed pitching. So Campusano only has 4 hits all year against a left-handed pitcher. And, you know, you've got to – that's 5 guys out of your 9 that basically are almost automatic outs against left-handed pitching. Is it any wonder why they've been shut out in 4 of the last 5 games in which left-handers have started against them? And, you know, I mean, they got to hopefully, you know, carry on what good they were able to accomplish to finish out that road trip.
Yeah.
and, you know, build on a 5-2 road trip. But the stopper all year has been left-handed pitching, and that's what they face tonight.
Well, you know, it can always turn around at any
second.
Yes,
it can.
Chris.
Yes, it can. That's a very positive way of looking at that.
I am looking at, but they also have Luis Arraez at the top of the lineup now, and he seems like he's getting hits on either side. I don't know. I know he's not as good facing lefties as righties, but
Arraez is changing a lot with this ball club. There's no question.
He is.
Comes into tonight's game with back-to-back games of four hits. I don't know that any Padre or too many players anywhere have ever had three straight games of four hits. So it'll be something to watch tonight. But, you know, the other thing is the Padres have been lousy at home, right? They've got 17 wins on the road, which is among the most in Major League Baseball. And on the other side, they have 16 losses at home, which is among the most in Major League Baseball. And I'll tell you one thing, Scrape. I was looking at some of the home splits. They're not a whole lot better.
They're really bad.
I mean, Fernando's at 183. Manny's at 196.
Jackson Merrill's in the 180s.
Jackson Merrill's 183. Even Arraez is only 238. Now he's only had 21 at-bats here. But I'm just saying, they can't hit at home. Team average 226. And they can't hit against lefties. Team average 217. So, you know, two big challenges for them tonight. They're at home. They're facing a lefty. And beyond all of that, the Yankees are pretty good anyway.
The Yankees are really good.
Yeah, they're having a terrific season.
Are they the leaders in the AL right now for the record?
They have the best record in the American League. The Phillies have the best record of everybody.
Yes, they've been insane.
The Phillies are almost off to a bit of a historic start. They've won 36 or 7 now. I don't have my standings in front of me today, but I think they've won 36 or 7. They've only lost 14. And the Phillies have just been, you know, absolutely on a rampage. But I'm not really worried about the Phillies. And to be honest with you, Scraby, I'm not really worried about the Yankees. I'm worried about the Padres.
Okay.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the Padres. This team has to figure out a way.
Phillies have 37 wins.
37, right. All right, so the Padres need to figure out a way to get something consistent going. And hopefully that starts on this homestand. You know, when you follow a 5-2 a road trip, you've got, what, 6 games on this homestand, right? You got to go 4-2, 5-1. You got to back it up. You got to build on it. You can't just give it back and go 2-4 and then head back out on the road again.
No.
It's at some point they've got to figure out a way to get away from this 500 mark, Scraby. I was looking at something. I mentioned this yesterday, but I actually did the math on it this morning.
Let's hear it. Since, you know, everybody, he just pulled out another Post-it note where his notes are.
Yeah, I have my notes here. Well, what do you want me to do, memorize everything?
I mean, bring a piece of paper. You brought Post-it notes.
It's working effectively.
Okay.
Is there any problem with this?
No, apparently not.
It's working just fine for me.
Now everybody actually gets to see what I deal with on a daily basis.
What are you dealing with? I'm reading off some information. Why is that a problem for you?
I
believe everybody gets to see what I get to deal with on a daily basis as well.
Yes, I have. Never mind. Go ahead.
June 16th, 2022, the Padres on that day had a 41-24 record. They would go on and finish that season 89-73. They would go on to the NL Championship Series, where they'd eventually lose to the Phillies. Last year, they went 82-80. This year, they're 27-26. Here's my point. Since June 16th of 20, including playoff games, they've won 163 and they've lost 161. That's a 324 game sample.
That's a good enough sample.
Yes, that's with Bob Melvin, that's without Bob Melvin, that's with Juan Soto, that's without Juan Soto, that's home, away, versus lefties, versus righties. They have been a 500 team for almost two straight years. And, you know, at some point, they got to figure out, you know, what they really are. Are they going to hang around 500, or are they going to finally find a way to break away from this and, you know, get themselves 7-8 games over 500? That's what I'm hoping.
This is a common response for me on Twitter whenever I post something. This is just a 500 team. This is what they are. And I want to fight against that, but I can't fight against it because the record tells me otherwise.
I believe Dennis Green, the former coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
We thought they were.
Said you are what your record says you are, or you are who they thought they are. Either way, yeah. No, they're a 500 ball club. Not only this year, but for now 2 years running. I mean, they've been a 500 ball club. So, well.
When you put it like that, like, it really does hammered.
I'm not trying to put a damper on your day. Have yourself a filet mignon skewer. You'll feel better.
It does look really delicious.
Yeah, actually. You'll feel much better. We're having some great food out here at Spiro's. We invite you to come on down. We're sitting out on the patio. We got some room out here for you. We've got all these prizes we're going to be giving away. I don't want all these people here to win all the prizes. I want some people that are listening to get down here.
I appreciate
get
all
signed
the people
up.
Here.
Absolutely, I do too. But I want more people to come down, enjoy the afternoon with us. Gwen and Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together here at Spiro's Greek Cafe, Mediterranean cuisine, enjoying our Fryer Friday on 97.3 The Fan. Mediterranean cuisine, right here in Coronado. My new friend Jacob just won himself a Manny Machado bobblehead doll. We start giving away some prizes. We're going to be giving stuff away throughout the show today. Need you down here at Spiro's in Coronado. We're at the ferry landing. It's a beautiful day, and it's a little overcast. All right, let's be honest. It's a little overcast, but it's still San Diego, and you're still outside enjoying the weather and the beautiful views of the bay and downtown San Diego and Petco Park right across the way, where the Padres and Yankees will play tonight, game one of a three-game series. Scraby, did you put the sign up that said no Yankee fans were allowed? I heard a couple from the back.
Is there a sign?
No, but you got to make one.
Yankees fans are allowed to come here.
Oh, right.
Why wouldn't they be?
I don't know. They are.
Can we just talk about the elephant that's in the room right now?
What's that?
Everybody's getting to see me melt down during the commercial breaks, and I'm very
You're not really melting down.
Well, the chat is hearing everything I say, even though my computer says it's muted. Apparently, everything I say goes over the YouTube, so everything.
Well, you want to apologize to everybody for your meltdowns, or do you just want to acknowledge your meltdowns?
No, here's a daily gripe. I get my daily gripe in today.
All right.
My daily gripe, I've already said before, and I hope no engineers are listening right now.
They are.
The engineers blame us for everything like it's our fault every single time.
Isn't it?
It's not, though.
It's not your fault.
I don't know if anybody's
hearing this. I don't know how many times we've been around and done this show together where you have sworn up and down it's not your fault, and then 20 minutes later when you figure out the actual problem, you go, oh, you know what? That was my fault.
Hey, guess what?
That has happened many times.
And how many times have I admitted it to everyone?
You will admit it again today is my concern. What are you upset? Okay, what's happening?
Okay.
Give us just a little behind-the-scenes peek at what the problem. Because you've really been stressed out since we arrived here.
Yes!
Which was like 45 minutes before the show. Trying to relax, enjoy ourselves, have a little hummus. And you're just, you've been stressed
crazy?
Out.
Crazy? Yes, yeah. I've been crazy.
I didn't know they sent Adam Klug to work with me today.
Oh, wow. Adam's sitting back in studio working his patootie off, and you're taking shots at him.
Our relaxing. Yeah, no, if anybody was ever relaxed, it's always Adam Klug. No, go ahead.
It's just been kind
What's
of stressful.
What's the problem? Nothing's working right?
We're on the YouTube. You can just search 97
yeah.
The Fan on YouTube if you want to watch
us. Okay,
you
can watch the show. We know that.
So apparently there's a big echo on YouTube. So we have the okay, so we're getting yeses from audience and
the YouTube audience.
And the people here who are watching it on YouTube.
Okay, but obviously the people at Spiro's are not hearing it. They're not having any problems.
Not anymore,
problems.
Because they're right here and they're in the perfect location.
They're in good shape.
Now Adam keeps texting me that my computer microphone is working, or it's on, and everybody can hear an echo of us.
And what you keep saying that everybody's hearing over the chat endlessly
just
is,
like this.
My computer's muted!
You've
pretty much said that about 500 times.
That's close.
Yeah.
I do the, my mom, when we were young, used to do the, my computer is muted, it can't be possible. Kind of,
but
so
it is.
No one hears it, and then everybody actually hears
but
it.
But it's not muted, evidently, because everyone's hearing everything you're
My
saying.
My computer says mute right here.
But it's not. Apparently. That's the problem. That's why you're stressed. That's why you're being kind of difficult to deal with.
Adam says, sounding better, but not perfect. Maybe our mics are too close.
Maybe we should start talking a little bit about sports, because
yes,
that's normally
why
people tune into the program.
Let's do that.
What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea, Chris. But first, join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. And next segment, I have the Daily Gambit. I put together a specific Daily Gambit based upon the Padres' left-handed hitting woes tonight. So.
Yes, well, they certainly have those woes, and hopefully they can get them fixed starting this evening. Look, they've got Rodon tonight. They face right-handers in the next two games of this series, but don't look now when the Miami Marlins come in here next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll be starting a lefty in all three games. At least they're scheduled to.
Yes.
So the Padres are going to have to figure this thing out sooner rather than later. Yesterday's game, though, we talked about it a little bit. Luis Arraez, I mean, this guy is he's worth going down to the ball game tonight just to watch his at-bats.
Absolutely.
I mean, unbelievable what he's doing right now. Not only back-to-back four-hit games, eight consecutive games of multiple hits. There's only one Padre ever that's had a nine-game streak of multiple hits, and it's not Tony Gwynn, believe it or not. It's Gary Sheffield
who did that.
Well, Sheffield,
how many years was he here?
Sheffield wasn't here long, but he was here long enough to win a batting title.
Well, there you go.
Beating out Tony Gwynn, obviously, to win that batting title. So Sheffield had, you know, a couple of good years here, but he once had nine consecutive games of multiple hits. That's what Arraez will be trying to match out there tonight against the Yankees. But I want to talk not so much about Arraez. I know he's going to get cheered. People are going to go crazy. They're so excited to have him here, and they should be, just like we are. But what I want to know is, what is going to be the reaction in the top of the first inning when Juan Soto comes to the plate at Petco Park?
I've been thinking a lot about this.
What do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be some smattering applause, some smattering of boos? Is there going to be any sign of appreciation from the fan base here? I don't think so. Or is there going to be, like, is he going to get booed wildly and loudly, which I don't know that he deserves, but for some reason I'm, you know, thinking might happen.
I think he's going to be cheered.
Cheered?
I do. He led them to an NLCS, and he helped them to finish that season out strong. I know that he didn't have a great season last year to begin the season, but no one really had a great season last year. It's not his fault the Padres were over the luxury tax. It's not his fault that the Padres had to trade him to get under the luxury tax.
But isn't it his fault that he seemed, as a lot of people have surmised, and I'm saying that it seemed when Juan Soto was here that the mixture of this Padre ball club wasn't the same as it is this year, where people are saying everything is wonderful, everyone gets along. That all seems like a very thinly veiled attempt to say that last year, you know what, we didn't all get along. We weren't all on the same page. And I think a lot of that, whether right or wrong, whether accurate or not, I think a lot of that gets blamed on Juan Soto. And that's why I think you're going to – and again, I don't even know if any of it's true. But it's – you know, the appearance is what matters.
It does,
to
yeah.
people. And I think that there are going to be some boos for him out there tonight, because I think a lot of people feel like he was the reason that this team did not get to where it was supposed to go.
You know, Chris, we've talked to people who have been in that clubhouse. You know, we know people that have been around these players. And it's hard for me to believe that one guy – could set a tone for the entire team. And if they let him set that tone, then I think that's on the rest of the players. They can't let something like that affect them. Because Juan Soto, like it or not, he did go out and he did perform in the second half, and he did have some good numbers.
He put up some great numbers.
Played every single game last year.
Maybe they'll just boo him because they thought he walked too much.
No, that's you. That's what you want to boo.
What do you mean?
For.
Am I the only one who thinks that?
No, you're not, but you are one that drives the bandwagon?
The
yes, the bandwagon.
Well,
I don't know. I really don't think that people are going to boo him. I think that if Will Smith can't get booed for calling Jerickson Profar Mr. Irrelevant or Irrelevant, yeah. then why is
Juan I think we're gonna have misplaced boos, and I think that we are gonna boo him tonight.
Show of hands, who thinks that Juan Soto is gonna get booed tonight?
Nobody.
Nobody.
You all think he's gonna get cheered.
Wow, that is shocking. Now, a little bit.
Remind me later what you guys all voted, because I think you're gonna hear some boos out there.
This is the boo, Chris. Boo.
No, I think it's going to be a little more than that.
Can you give us a good boo? Can you give us a boo that's going to...
Can I give you a boo?
How would you boo Juan Soto?
Me personally? Yeah. I don't boo anybody.
We'll try.
I will try?
Yes. You could boo me.
That I could do. All right, we'll see what happens. It's really neither here nor there. He is going to speak to the media if he's on time. He's going to speak to the media at 3:30 this afternoon.
The veiled shots coming.
That was
from
a veiled shot at Juan Soto, who is notoriously and historically late for stuff. But if he's on time today, he will speak to the media at 3:30, and then we'll carry, you know, play some of what he says to you guys later on. We'll hear what he has to say upon his return to San Diego. Either way, he's a bit of a polarizing figure.
Because I
think that there's a lot of people who, you know, agree with all these people out here that Juan Soto was terrific, but I don't think that's a 100% unanimous opinion around here in San Diego for whatever reason.
Well, believe me, I got in trouble for putting out a tweet earlier in the season, kind of just poking fun at Juan Soto for being so amazing with the Yankees and not with the Padres.
Well, what did you get in trouble for?
Why, because people weren't happy with me for saying this. Well, they're saying it's a totally different circumstance. How can I compare?
New York seems to fit him perfectly. I mean, honestly, he seems like he loves the bright lights, the Big Apple, the whole thing. I just think he was a little misplaced in San Diego.
He may have been. So, but I also think he knew he was never going to stay here long term, so there was no real attempt at.
And so he didn't attach
being
himself.
A San Diegan.
He didn't attach himself.
Not that everybody needs to be a San Diegan, but even, you know, Manny's doing things in the community. Juan Soto did things in the community. I don't want to take that away from
him.
Sure,
but
I don't feel like he. What he's kind of like Josh Hader, a little bit standoffish with San Diego and the franchise and the organization, all that.
Who do you think people dislike more, Josh Hader?
Oh,
because I know you can't stand Josh Hader. He's single-handedly taking down your fantasy team, so you have an ulterior motive as to why you hate him.
He's doing better, so I can't really hate him.
Picked it up a little bit.
I think. Ooh, I hate the word hate.
It's a little strong.
I think people dislike Josh Hader more because he did hamstring the team a little bit, and now that it's official that he did have a clause in his contract saying that he would not pitch more than one inning and he wouldn't pitch in certain situations, Padres went into it knowing that, and that's fine if they knew that, and I just think maybe they thought at some point if a game's big enough and they needed him, he would go in, but he didn't. It doesn't really matter. They weren't going to make the playoffs last year anyway.
Well, it's neither here nor there because he's gone, and the guy who's replaced him seems to be the exact 100% opposite of what he was all about, and that's Suarez.
Yeah.
He'll go in and pitch at any time, anywhere, under any circumstances.
Absolutely.
And just do whatever he can to help the Padres win games, which he is doing.
I think Craig Esther,
you know, fantastic job.
Bobby Bullets.
Bobby Bullets.
Yes.
Oh, because his name's Robert.
Yes.
So that's the Bobby reference.
Yes,
got it.
That is the Bobby reference.
Well, I didn't get it right away. It took me a moment to figure that out.
I'm glad you figured it out.
What would you say right now? Tonight is the one-third mark of the season. 54 games out of 162. So we are exactly one-third of the way through. If you had to turn in your ballot tomorrow morning, maybe right now you had to turn in your ballot, what would be... 3-2-1, your rankings of the Padres MVP of the season to this point.
Oh.
1-2-3. You get three guys.
3-2-1 or 1-2-3?
Well, who's number one, who's number two, who's number three? On your list of, this is one-third of the way into the season.
Okay.
Who'd be your MVP? Who'd be number one? Well, you can start with number three, whichever way you want to go. You want to make
three.
It more dramatic.
Yes.
You start with number three.
I'm going to start with number three, and I'm going to say number three is Jackson Merrill because no one expected.
Mediterranean cuisine right here in Coronado. My new friend Jacob just won himself a Manny Machado bobblehead doll. We start giving away some prizes. We're going to be giving stuff away throughout the show today. Need you down here at Spiro's in Coronado. We're at the ferry landing. It's a beautiful day, and it's a little overcast, all right? Let's be honest. It's a little overcast, but it's still San Diego, and you're still outside enjoying the weather and the beautiful views of the bay and downtown San Diego and Petco Park right across the way, where the Padres and Yankees will play tonight, game one of a three-game series. Scraby, did you put the sign up that said no Yankee fans were allowed? I heard a couple from the back.
Is there a sign?
No, but you got to make one. You got to make one.
Yankees fans are allowed to come here.
Oh, right.
Why wouldn't they be?
I don't know. they are.
Can we just talk about the elephant that's in the room right now?
What's that?
Everybody's getting to see me melt down during the commercial breaks, and I'm very
You're not really melting down.
Well, the chat is hearing everything I say, even though my computer says it's muted. Apparently, everything I say goes over the YouTube, so... Everything.
Well, you want to apologize to everybody for your meltdowns, or do you just want to acknowledge your meltdowns?
No, here's a daily gripe. I get my daily gripe in today.
All right.
My daily gripe, I've already said before, and I hope no engineers are listening right now.
But they are.
The engineers blame us for everything like it's our fault every single time.
Isn't it?
It's not, though.
It's not your fault.
I don't know if anybody.
Yeah, I don't know how many times we've been around and done this show together where you have sworn up and down it's not your fault, and then 20 minutes later when you figure out the actual problem, you go, oh, you know what? That was my fault.
Hey, guess what?
That has happened many times.
And how many times have I admitted it to everyone?
You will admit it again today is my concern. What are you upset? Okay, what's happening?
Okay.
Give us just a little behind-the-scenes peek at what the problem... Because you've really been stressed out since we arrived here.
Yes!
Which was like 45 minutes before the show, trying to relax, enjoy ourselves, have a little hummus. And you're just... you've been stressed
crazy?
Out.
Crazy? Yes, yeah. I've been crazy.
I didn't know they sent Adam Klug to work with me today.
Oh, wow. Adam's sitting back in studio working his patootie off, and you're taking shots at him.
Relaxing. Yeah, no, if anybody was ever relaxed, it's always Adam Klug. No, go ahead.
It's just been kind
What's
of stressful.
What's the problem? Nothing's working right?
We're on the YouTube. You can just search 97.3
yeah.
The Fan on YouTube if you
want
to watch
us. Okay, you can watch the show. We know that.
So apparently there's a big echo on YouTube. So we have the okay, so we're getting yeses from the audience, and
the YouTube Adam, audience,
and the people here who are watching it on YouTube.
Okay, but obviously the people at Spiro's are not hearing it. They're not having any
not anymore
problems.
Because they're right here and they're in the perfect location.
They're in good shape.
Now Adam keeps texting me that my computer microphone is working, or it's on, and everybody can hear an echo of us.
And what you keep saying that everybody's hearing over the chat endlessly
just
is
like this:
my computer's muted.
You've
pretty much said that about 500 times.
That's close.
Yeah.
I do the, my mom, when we were young, used to do the, my computer is muted. It can't be possible. Kind of.
But
so
it
no
is.
One hears it, and then everybody actually hears
but
it.
But it's not muted, evidently, because everyone's hearing everything you're
my
saying.
My computer says mute right here.
But it's not. Apparently. That's the problem. That's why you're stressed. That's why you're being kind of difficult to deal with.
Adam says, sounding better, but not perfect. Maybe our mics are too close.
Maybe we should start talking a little bit about sports, because
yes,
that's normally
that.
Why people tune into the
let's,
program.
Let's do that.
What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea, Chris. But first, join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. And next segment, I have the Daily Gambit. I put together a specific Daily Gambit based upon the Padres' left-handed hitting woes tonight. So.
Yes, well, they certainly have those woes, and hopefully they can get them fixed starting this evening. Look, they've got Rodon tonight. They face right-handers in the next two games of this series, but don't look now when the Miami Marlins come in here next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll be starting a lefty in all three games. At least they're scheduled to.
Yes.
So the Padres are going to have to figure this thing out sooner rather than later. Yesterday's game, though, we talked about it a little bit. Luis Arraez, I mean, this guy is he's worth going down to the ball game tonight just to watch his at-bats.
Absolutely.
I mean, unbelievable what he's doing right now. Not only back-to-back four-hit games, eight consecutive games of multiple hits. There's only one Padre ever that's had a nine-game streak of multiple hits. And it's not Tony Gwynn, believe it or not. It's Gary Sheffield
who
did that. Well, Sheffield.
How many years was he here?
Sheffield wasn't here long, but he was here long enough to win a batting title.
Well, there you go.
Beating out Tony Gwynn, obviously, to win that batting title. So Sheffield had a couple of good years here, but he once had nine consecutive games and multiple hits. That's what Arraez will be trying to match out there tonight against the Yankees. But I want to talk not so much about Arraez. I know he's going to get cheered. People are going to go crazy. They're so excited to have him here, and they should be, just like we are. But what I want to know is, what is going to be the reaction in the top of the first inning when Juan Soto comes to the plate at Petco Park?
I've been thinking a lot about this.
What do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be some smattering applause, some smattering of boos? Is it going to be? Is there going to be any sign of appreciation from the fan base here? I don't think so. Or is there going to be, like, is he going to get booed wildly and loudly, which I don't know that he deserves, but for some reason I'm, you know, thinking might happen.
I think he's going to be cheered.
Cheered?
I do. He led them to an NLCS, and he helped them to finish that season out strong. I know that he didn't have a great season last year to begin the season, but no one really had a great season last year. It's not his fault the Padres were over the luxury tax. It's not his fault that the Padres had to trade him to get under the luxury tax.
But isn't it his fault that he seemed, as a lot of people have surmised, and I'm saying that it seemed when Juan Soto was here that the mixture of this Padre ball club wasn't the same as it is this year, where people are saying everything is wonderful, everyone gets along. That all seems like a very thinly veiled attempt to say that last year, you know what, we didn't all get along. We weren't all on the same page. And I think a lot of that, whether right or wrong, whether accurate or not, I think a lot of that gets blamed on Juan Soto. And that's why I think you're going to, and again, I don't even know if any of it's true, but it's, you know, the appearance is what matters.
It does,
to
yeah.
people. And I think that there are going to be some boos for him out there tonight, because I think a lot of people feel like he was the reason that this team did not get to where it was supposed to go.
You know, Chris, we've talked to people who have been in that clubhouse. You know, we know people that have been around these players, and it's hard for me to believe that one guy could set a tone for the entire team. And if they let him set that tone, then I think that's on the rest of the players. They can't let something like that affect them. Because Juan Soto, like it or not, he did go out and he did perform in the second half, and he did have some good numbers.
He put up some great numbers.
Played every single game last year.
Maybe they'll just boo him because they thought he walked too much.
No, that's you. That's what you want to boo.
What do you mean?
For.
Am I the only one who thinks that?
No, you're not, but you are one that drives the bandwagon?
The
bus. Yes, the bandwagon.
Well,
I don't know. I really don't think that people are going to boo him. I think that if Will Smith can't get booed for calling Jerickson Profar Mr. Irrelevant or Irrelevant, then why is Juan
Soto, I think we're going to have misplaced boos, and I think that we are going to boo him tonight.
Show of hands, who thinks that Juan Soto is going to get booed tonight?
Nobody.
Nobody.
You
wow.
all think he's going to get cheered.
Wow, that is shocking. Now, a little bit.
Remind me later what you guys boo. All voted, because I think you're going to hear some boos out
here,
there.
This is the boo, Chris.
No, I think it's going to be a little more than that.
Can you give us a good boo? Can you give us a boo that's going to...
Can I give you a boo?
How would you boo Juan Soto?
Me personally, I don't boo anybody.
Well, we'll try.
I will try?
Yes. You could boo me.
That I could do. all right, we'll see what happens. It's really neither here nor there. He is going to speak to the media if he's on time. He's going to speak to the media at 3:30 this afternoon.
The veiled shots coming.
That was a veiled shot at Juan Soto, who is notoriously and historically late for stuff. But if he's on time today, he will speak to the media at 3:30, and then we'll carry, you know, play some of what he says to you guys later on. We'll hear what he has to say upon his return to San Diego. Either way, he's a bit of a polarizing figure.
Because I
think that there's a lot of people who, you know, agree with all these people out here that Juan Soto was terrific, but I don't think that's a 100% unanimous opinion around here in San Diego for whatever reason.
Well, believe me, I got in trouble for putting out a tweet earlier in the season, kind of just poking fun at Juan Soto for being so amazing with the Yankees and not with the Padres.
Well, what did you get in trouble for?
Because people weren't happy with me for saying this. Well, They're saying it's a totally different circumstance. How can I compare?
New York seems to fit him perfectly. I mean, honestly, he seems like he loves the bright lights, the Big Apple, the whole thing. I just think he was a little misplaced in San Diego.
He may have been. So, but I also think he knew he was never going to stay here long term. So there was no real attempt at.
And so he didn't attach
being
himself.
Being a San Diegan.
He didn't attach himself.
Not that everybody needs to be a San Diegan, but even, you know, Manny's doing things in the community. Juan Soto did things in the community. I don't want to take that away from
I'm
him.
Sure
but
he
I don't
did.
Feel like he. Well, he's kind of like Josh Hader, a little bit standoffish with San Diego and the franchise and the organization, all that.
Who do you think people dislike more, Josh Hader?
Oh,
because I know you can't stand Josh Hader. He's single-handedly taking down your fantasy team. So you have an ulterior motive as to why you hate him.
He's doing better, so I can't really hate him.
Picked it up a little bit.
I think. Ooh, I hate the word hate.
Hate's it's a little strong.
I think people dislike Josh Hader more because he did hamstring the team a little bit, and now that it's official that he did have a clause in his contract saying that he would not pitch more than one inning and he wouldn't pitch in certain situations, Padres went into it knowing that, and that's fine if they knew that, and I just think maybe they thought at some point if a game's big enough and they needed him, he would go in, but he didn't. It doesn't really matter. They weren't going to make the playoffs last year anymore.
Well, it's neither here nor there because he's gone, and the guy who's replaced him seems to be the exact 100% opposite of what he was all about, and that's Suarez.
Yeah.
We'll go in and pitch at any time, anywhere, under any circumstances.
Absolutely.
And just do whatever he can to help the Padres win games, which he is doing.
I think Craig Essler,
you know, fantastic job.
Bobby Bullets.
Bobby Bullets.
Yes.
Oh, because his name's Robert.
Yes.
So that's the Bobby reference.
Yes,
got it.
That is the Bobby reference.
Well, I didn't get it right away. It took me a moment to figure that out.
I'm glad you figured it out.
What would you say right now? Tonight is the 1/3 mark of the season. 54 games out of 162. So we are exactly 1/3 of the way through. If you had to turn in your ballot tomorrow morning, maybe right now you had to turn in your ballot, what would be 3-2-1, your rankings of the Padres MVP of the season to this point.
Oh.
1-2-3.
Hmm.
You get three guys.
3-2-1 or 1-2-3?
Well, who's number one, who's number two, who's number three? On your list of, this is 1/3 of the way into the season.
Okay.
Who'd be your MVP? Who'd be number one? Well, you can start with number three, whichever way you want to go. You want to make it more dramatic.
Yes.
You start with number three.
I'm going to start with number three, and I'm going to say number three is Jackson Merrill because no one expected him to be as
Jackson
good
Merrill,
as
number
is.
Three on the MVP list for the Padres.
I know it sounds crazy, but he has played really well.
I don't
for them.
Expect you to have a list that's anything but crazy, so that's fine.
He's playing center field for the first time in his life, and he's playing at the major league level, and
he's been that good, you give him an MVP.
I can keep going if you want me to.
He's third. Who's second?
I thought you were going to get in on this. Okay.
I'm going to do my list after you get yours out.
Second is going to be Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease,
and the only reason he's second is because he's struggled here in the last couple games, and it's a very unfair thing for me to say.
Okay.
But Dylan Cease is my number two, and my number one is Robert Suarez. Easy.
Robert Suarez.
Yeah, easy.
Okay, so without being, I don't think I'm being out of line here, but I'm pretty sure you left out the guy who is the actual MVP of the team. You didn't even get him in your top three.
Ha!
So that is kind of a normal occurrence, but I'm just pointing it out.
Did I Will Smith Jurickson Profar?
I guess he's irrelevant.
I can't believe I forgot Jurickson Profar. Luis Arraez hasn't been here long enough, so I didn't even really think about him. Jurickson Profar is number one. Robert Suarez is number two. Dylan Cease, number three. There. Thank you for reminding me and making sure that my Twitter doesn't go crazy.
This
with
is
how
what I deal
forget
with.
Him.
This is what I deal with. Okay. Yeah, no, Profar's got to be the MVP.
He's hitting 340 or something.
He's pretty much got to be the MVP of the first third of the season.
Well, this is embarrassing, Chris.
Yes, it is.
This is embarrassing.
Yes, it is. But, I put you on the spot, and we don't have our computer screens in front of us. Oh, you do have your computer screen in front of you because we know it's not working properly.
Correct.
So you could have actually looked this up.
I wasn't
and
touch it.
Made a reference to that.
I was not going to touch it.
Yeah, it's probably got to be Profar. It's got to be Suarez, and it's got to be Cease. I don't think you can go anything else. Cronenworth is, an honorable mention. Jackson Merrill is maybe honorable mention just because he's done, some very nice things as a rookie. But I think Darvish is, right there. He's 4-1 with a 2.08.
He missed too much time.
He missed some time, but Darvish
season.
Has been,
great.
Absolutely on fire right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys that have, done some good things. Unfortunately, this team is not going to get where they need to go as we've said many times, until the players that are not on this MVP list start performing like they are and that they belong on that list, and that's Manny and Fernando. Look, they deserve most of the pressure. They make most of the money. They are the two superstars on this franchise. And until the two of them start at least getting in the discussion as to who the Padre MVP is, I don't know that they're going to be able to break away from this 500 mark.
I understand the exercise you put me through because you wanted me to not name Fernando and Manny. And
well,
it's true. I couldn't even with a straight face say that Fernando or Manny are that important.
No, you could. Well,
year. I mean, they're important, obviously, but not top three important.
No, they don't qualify under those circumstances. So, anyway, I think that's kind of the main thing as you head into the second third of the season, which starts tomorrow. But the first third of the season finishes up tonight.
I have a lineup for the Padres tonight.
What do you have for me, Scraby, against a left-handed pitcher? How is Mike Schilt planning to reverse the curse, as it were?
Leading off, obviously, Luis Arraez. And I like this. He's at first base.
All right.
Fernando batting second, playing right field. Jerickson Profar batting third, playing left field. Manny Machado DHing, cleaning up. Jake Cronenworth playing second base, batting fifth. Donovan Solano playing third base, batting sixth. Luis Campusano catching seventh. Jackson Merrill, center field, batting eighth. And Ha-Sung Kim, shortstop, batting ninth.
Yeah, that's pretty much the lineup I think they're going to go with against lefties for the time being. And I think against righties for the time being, that lineup will have Machado at third base and Peralta DHing, or as he did the last two games, playing in one of the outfield spots and giving somebody a day off in that regard. All right, we'll see. Daily Gambit kicks off the 3 o'clock hour. Give away some more prizes here during the break. Thanks for being here. And if you're not here, get here. Spiro's, Coronado, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.